Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
We've recalled 12 Top Gun graduates
to fly this mission.
Everyone here is the best there is.
Damn right.
Who are they going to get to teach us?
Good morning, aviators.
Whoa! It's Maverick.
Show me what you're made of.
And we're off.
We're going into combat on a level no one's ever seen.
It's not the plane.
It's the pilot.
Hang on!
Top Gun Maverick, rated PG-13.
News Talk 1110 WBT, Friday, May 27th. That music kicks in 36 years later.
Yes.
Top Gun Maverick is in theaters as we speak. First showings last night. And Beth Troutman, we actually talked to Sean O'Connell from CinemaBlend.com several weeks ago, and he saw it very, very early. And we talked about him talking to Tom Cruise and Kenny Loggins and members of the cast on the red carpet there for the world premiere. So, Sean, you sort of gave us a tease of it that day, but I said, no, wait. I'm going to save this for the day that it comes out. But I don't know, and you've been doing this a long time, but have you ever... do you ever remember a movie that was this mainstream, and maybe even a sequel that was this unanimously loved? I mean, I haven't seen a bad word about this movie anywhere. And in most cases, when the stakes are this high, everybody goes into it wanting to find something wrong with it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a great question. I guess the first thing that jumps to mind would be when J.J. Abrams did The Force Awakens, you know, and everyone really kind of felt like he nailed the tone of Star Wars, and that Star Wars, after being gone for a really long time, figured out a way to come back. And then, of course, the Star Wars fan base is so quick to turn on themselves and devour each other that they did shortly afterwards. But no, you're right. It's fantastic that this movie is getting the love that it's getting, and it truly deserves. I've got a chance to see it a second time recently here in Charlotte, and I got to see it with a crowd this time. The first time was a press screening. And it just, the best thing you could say about it is it just plays so well. There's applause moments. There are moments in the theater when you can hear the crowd collectively like let out a sigh of relief because they've been holding their breath with tension. Everything about it is great. The story, the execution, it's really, I didn't think we needed a Top Gun sequel, but it's the movie that we have been waiting for this whole time.
Oh my gosh, now I'm even more excited, because to hear you say that I think really says something, because, I mean, you're a movie critic. This is what you do. You love to talk about what's going on within a film, and the fact that you love this much, I have been talking about this all week. I bought tickets to go see it on an IMAX dome here in Charlotte at the Discovery Place Theater, because it's only playing for 2 weeks there. Am I going to get motion sick? Should I be concerned?
You might. You might, only because the IMAX is so immersive, and that the way that the director filmed this, people probably haven't heard this yet, but they've been talking about this a lot, is that they put four tiny cameras that are really revolutionary. They haven't been used in any other way before, inside the cockpit with the different actors, with Tom Cruise and with these young pilots who he's training for their next mission. And it was up to the actors to actually press the buttons to start to record the cameras. They were kind of working as their own camera operators in these jets, because there's no other way to really film it. And so it feels like you're in the cockpit with these planes for most of the big time aerial sequences. And there are a few of them, because when I first posted my review from the film, I said, you know, how crazy it is that Tom Cruise is actually filming or flying these jets.
Right.
And a few people from the Navy were like, listen, he's not really flying the jets. Those jets are super expensive. There's no way that Hollywood would give him the opportunity to fly. And I get that. There's probably a pilot in there with him. But when I watched it the second time, there are scenes where it looks like he's the only person in the cockpit during very elaborate and thrilling flight sequences. So however they pulled it off, movie magic, I guess, you feel like you're flying alongside of him, and it's exhilarating.
Well, he just released, they had the video, he was flying James Corden around in one of the jets. Yes. And did kind of a loop-de-loop and made James Corden nauseated.
So he has multiple pilot licenses, and he can fly helicopters, and he can, at the world premiere that we went to in San Diego, it took place on the deck of a naval craft, and he arrived by flying his own helicopter.
Wow.
And landing.
Yeah.
You know, and then, so he can do that. Well, but I know what they're saying. They wouldn't give him access to these F-18s that are integral to the plot of Top Gun Maverick, because they do cost hundreds of millions of dollars individually, and if he were to crash it or do something wrong to it, it's still a movie. We have to keep it into some perspective.
We're talking to Sean O'Connell, the managing editor at CinemaBlend.com, and because there's so much opening today and this weekend, streaming and in theaters, he's agreed to hang on for a second segment, so we'll get to more of Top Gun. We've got Stranger Things. We've got,
yes,
Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney+. An unbelievable Memorial Day weekend ahead for entertainment options.
Can I come back again?
Yeah. I built this for you.
There are others, you know. There were 8 of us. It really mean a lot to them.
Yeah. Anytime. They're all welcome here. No. It's Iowa.
So here's the thing. I remember like it was yesterday watching that movie for the first time at Park Terrace over at Park Road. And you mentioned, Beth, that you're watching Top Gun this weekend at Discovery Place.
Right.
I got my tickets at Park Terrace.
Oh.
So, and I say that because, of course, that clip, Shoeless Joe Jackson from the 1989 classic movie Field of Dreams, and Ray Liotta, who played him with Kevin Costner in that movie, we learned yesterday passed away at the age of 67. So we're talking to Sean O'Connell here on Friday, the managing editor of CinemaBlend.com. And, Sean, we have a lot of stuff to talk about that's new this weekend, but we can't do this segment and not talk about Ray Liotta.
Did you feel like we all needed to cry hard?
I know.
Is that what you were doing to us?
Well, I don't know how much, you've known me for a long time. I may be about to shock you here. You know what movies I like, and generally you and I like the same ones. That's why we've done this for so long. But I have seen Field of Dreams probably 80 times.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen Goodfellas.
That's amazing. I thought you didn't pick a Goodfellas clip just because you couldn't put it on the air.
Well, that's true, too. That's partly true as well, but... But what about?
Those are the two roles that everybody associates with them. But I mean, in even singling those out, because they both came so early in his career, it overlooks a lot of outstanding work that he was still doing, over the course of his entire career. And he does. Ray Liotta got typecast a little bit as playing the tough guy, you know, often associated with the mafia. But he's had some outstanding work, including most recently he was in a movie with Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver called Marriage Story, where there was a couple going through a divorce, and Ray Liotta played one of their lawyers.
Yes.
It was just outstanding. And then, he did go back to the mafia well recently when they did the Sopranos movie called The Many Saints of Newark, and he was just outstanding in it. And, it hurts because he passed away in his sleep while in the Dominican Republic working on another movie. So, so young, 67, still working, and you think about the different performances from him that we're not going to get.
Yeah, and I mean, just a fantastic long career. We were talking earlier, one of my favorites of his was Unlawful Entry back in 1992. It was just one of those haunting characters because he was played an evil police officer. But we've got a lot of other stuff to get to because some great, crazy streaming shows are coming out or are out now, like on Netflix. Come on, everybody's been wishing for and hoping for, any of the Stranger Things fans, at least, for Stranger Things 4. I've seen the trailer, and I do watch the show, and I'm a little concerned about this season. What are you hearing?
Well, it's going much bigger. With every episode is at least an hour and 15 minutes. Some of them are approaching an hour and 45 minutes, which, some independent films you don't even get that much from it. And this is an episode of Stranger Things. And the thing about it, which I think is going to hurt the show just a little bit, is that every episode ends on a cliffhanger – that if this show were week to week, you know, would keep the show in the conversation with everybody wondering what's next. The binge model for Stranger Things makes it really hard to keep it in the conversation because it happened with Ozark. You know, you never really know where everybody else is in the season. How much have you watched? What can we talk about? And so, you know, everyone's going to sort of binge it this weekend or take it at their own pace. And I don't know how we're going to keep the spoilers, you know, from getting out there.
Yeah.
Or how are you going to keep that water cooler conversation going? Because on the flip side, the other thing that's dropping is Obi-Wan. And we're getting two episodes, but only two of six, you know, and so you have that time to sort of build up anticipation and get ready for the next episodes coming.
Yeah, so Stranger Things Part 4 released today. Part 1 of that is 7 episodes, and like you say, I mean, all of these are an hour, and some of them, like the longest one, is an hour and 38 minutes.
It's crazy, yeah. That's a film. That's a film.
And then July 1st, episodes 8 and 9. Episode 8 is an hour and 25 minutes. Episode 9 is 2 hours and 30 minutes.
That's crazy. That's longer than a film.
That's a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what that
is a movie.
There was another film. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I just interrupted you.
Think about that cast. That means that cast shot essentially 9 movies. In a short amount of time.
And think about the editors who are editing essentially 9 films.
Well, I thought you were going to say, think about how old that cast is now.
Yeah.
When we started, and now it's starting to be like, wasn't it like the Ralph Macchio was like near almost 30 when he finished the last Karate Kid movie? And,
right.
You know, he was playing a guy who was, you know, in his late teens. And now in this case, these kids aren't getting any younger.
Nope.
I know, Macchio looks younger in Cobra Kai than he did in that.
That's right.
The guy doesn't age now.
And then Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus, episodes 1 and 2 today, and then you have 4 more episodes after that, so June 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. There's some high stakes for this series right here, because you got Ewan McGregor coming back, and you got Hayden Christensen reprising Darth Vader. I mean, Darth Vader coming back to anything is, I just want to know, and do you know, is James Earl Jones the voice of Darth Vader in this series?
I don't believe that he is. I'm about to press play on the first 2 episodes. Disney will normally give us the first episodes of whatever new show a couple of days in advance. I've already seen Miss Marvel, which is coming out in June because they showed us the first 2 episodes. They did not show us the first 2 episodes of Obi-Wan. It makes me think that that's because some major stuff is going to happen. But I was going to check the credits to see. There's been no mention of James Earl Jones at all, and I kind of believe that if he was coming back to voice the role, we'd have heard it by now. There have been other voice actors that have done Darth Vader in some animation projects and, of course, on the video game side. So my guess is that they got one of those guys to come in and do it.
Well, I'm going to play this going out because this is pretty cool. So John Williams, he's not done the entire score, but they had him come back to write Obi-Wan's theme because he said that's the one, you know, main character that I never got to write a theme for. And when they, you know, when they presented this a couple days ago, he came and performed it live. And so this right here, what you're hearing is the new theme from John Williams. Just a little bit of it. And you'll hear more of this later today if you watch it. That's a taste of it.
Wow.
And so that's pretty cool they brought him back. I don't know. I'm going to have to get used to James Earl Jones not being the guy. But you know what? What is it? Don Pardo on SNL. You know, when he died, I thought, who else could ever be him? And Daryl Hammond is, I'm used to that now. So
right. Not
exactly the same thing, but I don't know. I'm trying to compare it to something.
Right. You get used to it. It grows on you.
Sean?
Yes, guys.
Oh, he's still there.
I have like 8 more things I could talk to you about, but that's the kind of weekend it is. So you say absolutely thumbs up, go see Top Gun.
I'm annoyed that people are not in the theater right now.
We will be right after the show is over. And before we let you go, we have one question for you that we have been trying to settle in this studio for weeks now. Do you say biopic or do you say biopic?
So I say it both ways, and I think I'm wrong each time, but I think it's biopic.
There we have it. I think Sean O'Connell is the deciding factor.
Always great to have seen O'Connell here on the show.
All right, man. Thank you so much. Follow Sean, of course, at Sean O'Connell, cinemablend.com. And he actually has interviews on the red carpet with Kenny Loggins and Tom Cruise and a lot of the principals from the Top Gun Maverick this weekend. And we do these segments on Fridays, but you can follow him 24/7 and always be in the know. Thanks, man.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too.
We
take
love
care.
You.
Sean O'Connell.